Thank you. And you can all judge for yourself whether or not you think this is excellent or not. I don't know about that. But thanks for that great introduction. And I wanted to first acknowledge my co-conspirator on this project. By the way, this is always a silly question, but can everyone hear me in the back? Or do I need the microphone? Okay. But I wanted to acknowledge my co-conspirator, Allison Phillips, who's a member of our research team, and she helped design some of the slides and made them look a lot better than anything that I could do. First wanted to presenter disclosure, so I have nothing to disclose. Hopefully someday I will, but right now I don't. So I'll kind of jump right into it. And as Dr. An and our other colleagues in this session are going to be presenting on rural-urban differences and rural-urban gradients, but there's really no standardized universal gold standard measure to use in rurality. And now I'm going to jump ahead to the conclusions to say that the big ending is that there still is no golden measure. So I'm going to tell you, but the path that we get there is there are some good measures and some not so good measures. But there's lots of issues in defining rurality. Including one thing is finding the optimal geographic unit on which to assess rurality. So is one's neighborhood, if one lives in an urban neighborhood but surrounded by a rural community, is that considered urban or is that considered rural? Same thing for if you live in generally an urban county but you live in kind of a rural part of it. I guess the bottom line is finding that optimal geographic unit to describe rurality. Also trying to find that measure, that what is that unifying great measure that we can all use and say, this is the gold standard that we're going to use. There is no great measure out there. What specific aspects of rurality, whether it's the population density, is it the lack of access to quality health care, is it confounded with socioeconomic status? What is it about rurality that actually impacts health? Because we know all of our findings today, we know that we've seen rurality and urbanicity, they all impact health, so those rural-urban gradients. So what is it about rurality or urbanicity? There are three objectives today, and I'm going to focus really especially on the first one. The first one is to compare five measures commonly used to measure rural-urban gradients, these are five of the probably 20 that are out there, including the RUCA that Dr. An used in his presentation. I'm going to show you how each one individually impacts or is related to mental health status in older adults. I'll jump to the end a little bit and say that they each impact mental health a little bit differently. Then kind of talk about some of what this means for policy and research, future research. So I'm going to just jump right into what those measures are. If you're not into measurement, you might want to skip the next couple slides, take a nap or something. There are five measures that we used. There are two from the USDA. One's the Rural Urban Continuum Code. One is the Rural Influence Code. The Urban Influence Code. These are each both ordinal variables. One is 9 levels. One is 12 variables. 12 levels. They're used primarily by the USDA and in a lot of research. Just a quick note is I reverse coded these because originally one indicates urban and the higher indicates rural, and I just flipped them so that they're all in the same direction. Log of population density, this is one that you've probably seen a million times. Now you'll see it a million one times. Proportion urban population, also from the Census Bureau, and this index of relative rurality, which is an index that's kind of like a scale based on a composite measure based on four individual measures of rurality. It was adapted at the University of Indiana, and I'll talk a little bit about that. It ranges from 0 to 1, with 0 being the most rural and 1 being most urban. So the data source that we used was the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. I'll refer to it as BRFIS, for lack of a better acronym. It used the 2010 data. And some people love the BRFIS and some people hate it. Wherever on the fence you are, this is what was used. The question that was asked for mental health, which is not a great question, but it's now thinking about your mental health, which includes stress, depression, problems with emotions, for how many days during the past 30 days was your mental health not good? We just dichotomized that to one was poor mental health and 0 was not poor mental health. And this is not a great way of doing it, but this is the best measure that we had in the Burfest to use this. Restricted the sample to age 60 plus. The response rate for this question, one of the good things about it, was about 98%. So we had pretty good response rate, or they had a pretty good response rate. And the sample size, because a lot of older adults tend to do the Burfest, tend to respond to it, so almost half the population of the, almost half the sample size of Burfest was 60 plus, so we had about 170, almost 180,000 to work with. So we did very basic statistical analyses, univariate spatial statistics. So you'll see a lot. You're going to see a lot of maps coming up soon. Also designed by Allison, who just walked in. I saw. And we're going to look at Spearman's correlation among the five measures, and we're going to look at how each virality measure is associated with mental health using weighted logistic regression with spline terms to correct for to really assess the nonlinearity between each of the measures. And the spline terms are quartiles, or for quartiles. So there are three cut points for each regression model, except for the RUCC, the Rural Urban Continuum Code, which has only 9 levels, so we use 2 cut points for that. We use SAS and ArcGIS. So here is, according to Burfest, this is the percent of people in each county that we described as poor mental health. And as you can see, the first I should just point out that the gray area is where there's no data available or not enough data to create a county estimate. But as you can see, they're kind of randomly distributed. You know, there's some places that have a little bit more than others, particularly in the Midwest and the Appalachians seems to be a little bit of a cluster there, but as well as in California. But interestingly enough, I noticed that Florida seems to have really good mental health, which is very strange. It must be alligators. I don't know. And so now we're going to take you through each of the 5 measures of virality. And so this is the in doing so, I'll go through these pretty quickly. But you can just kind of get a visual sense of that how each measure of virality is pretty different than the other measures. So this is the Rural-Urban Continuum Code. We're showing that the 1 is the most urban, 9 is the most rural, and so nothing surprising here. You can see the clusters of cities. This is the urban influence code, same sort of coding, see it's a little bit more saturated with more urban. This is population density. Again, now the millionth and 1th time you've seen this. This is the percent urban population. And this is something that was pretty shocking, because if you compare the population density, which is sort of the standard measure, to percent urban, it looks very different. And this is why, getting at that issue that I was speaking of before, where what it means to be urban or rural is, it really depends on where you live. It's hard for me to imagine that living in the mountains of Colorado, for example, is a very urban place, but these actually have areas that are very high percent urban population. And that's often a measure that's used. And this is that index of relative virality. And you can see it's kind of a composite. Since it's a composite measure, it looks kind of like an average of the other 4 measures. And that's kind of what it is. It takes into account a couple other measures as well. I wanted to kind of point out, because I'm a data nerd, I wanted to look and see some of the disparities between some of the measures. So this is showing you comparing the USDA measures, where if it was these are counties that are the red area, the maroon areas represent counties that were considered much more rural in the RUCC versus the UIC, the Urban Influence Code. The green is the opposite, where they're considered more rural in the UIC than in the RUCC. So there's tons of disparities between even the 2 measures, the 2 USDA measures, which is pretty surprising. So there's a lot of internal inconsistency. These are temporal changes just in the RUCC, the way it was coded from 1993 to 2003. So these are showing that the red counties are counties that were considered more urban in 2003 than they were in 1993, and the green counties, and the darker the green, the bigger the change was, the green counties got more rural. So there are a couple counties like this county in Nevada and a couple of these counties up in Maine that somehow got more rural or at least were coded as more rural over the 10-year span. And here is the correlation among the 5 virality measures. And as you can see, the proportion urban, not surprisingly, is least correlated with the other USDA measures, the Rural Urban Continuum Code and the Urban Influence Code. And the index of relative virality, because it's a function of several of these, including population density, portion urban. It's actually pretty well correlated with the others in general, but you can see that there that since this is correlation, there's really not they're not close to. I mean, some of them are close to one, but they're not all very close to one. So here is just some scatter. Well, these are line charts of each individual measurement. So this population density here, this is percent urban, urban influence code, rural urban continuum code, index of relative rurality, and the y-axis is the proportion of respondents in that are classified that way that were coded as having poor mental health. So as you can see, each one individually has a very distinct fingerprint depending on the measurement that you use. So there's some consistency here. These two right here are the USDA ones, but they're almost exactly the opposite. They start out with high poor mental health, and then they drop down, and then they kind of go up in kind of a J shape. This one is just sort of the opposite. They start out low, and then they get higher here, and then they kind of flatten out. But population densities, you can see there's kind of a J shape curve, as well as percent urban. There's almost a J shape, and because we expect, because index of relative rurality is a measure of this, a largely a measure of this, it's also kind of J shaped. But again, just wanted to highlight that the major differences depending on what measurement is used. So this is just one example. This is using the spline. This has been smoothed both using the spline regression models, and this is showing you the predicted probability of poor mental health in counties. And as you can see, it generally goes down as with increasing for urban influence code. It generally goes down with increasing urbanicity, and then it goes up at the very end. And this was actually fairly consistent among the other four measures as well, but there were differences in the magnitude and the way that the general shape of the curve. These are the odds ratios, which I know they're hard to see, especially in the back. But these are the odds ratios if you want to, this is actually available online if you want to take a look more carefully. I'm sure my time is running out, but for each of the spline terms as well, these are we have four models: the unadjusted no spline, the adjusted no spline, adjusted with the splines, and the unadjusted with the spline, and the adjusted with the spline. So I just wanted to give you kind of a brief summary. So you saw that there are moderately strong associations among the five rurality measures, and the USD measures themselves are pretty strongly correlated, and the index of relative rurality was pretty strongly correlated with a lot of the other measures, but none of them had close to perfect correlation. I think the other important thing to kind of take away from this is that the associations between rurality measures and mental health really depended on the choice of a rurality measure used. If you do a PubMed search, and on any of these measures, you'll probably find maybe tens of thousands or thousands of papers on each one. There's no consistent measure, if the measurement had been changed, you might find a different result in terms of with respect to rural-urban differences. The relationships were largely curvilinear. It looks like the people in the, generally speaking, and making a very broad generalization, people in the most rural areas tended to have slightly worse mental health. It got better in the intermediate areas, and then it got worse with progressive urbanicity. There's some strengths and limits. There's some caveats with that too. So some of the strengths and limitations, large sample size, so everything was statistically significant because we had 180,000 people in the sample. It was a nationally representative sample, although we were missing a lot of data in the upper plains and the Midwest. So we're looking at five rurality measures of probably 10 or 20 that are used, and we looked at nonlinearity. So we looked at the potential for things to not necessarily vary by. We didn't necessarily expect that measures would be linear. The associations would be linear. But as I mentioned, one big limitation is we were missing a lot of data in the West, probably in a lot of rural areas. So that may bias the results a little bit. If we had data for the rural areas, for those rural areas, especially in the Dakotas and Montana. We may have had slightly different results. And then, of course, the big limitation, which I mentioned, alluded to earlier, is that the question of mental health that was asked in Burfis isn't great. Now, I'm sorry for those of you that took my class, and I extolled the virtues of Burfis, Burfis giveth and Burfis taketh away. So this is one of those things where the questions on mental health need to be developed, I think, in the more recent Burfis, they are... they're Get Better, and there's some modules on there as well, but the general question that's asked of the population is not great. But these are leading, this is sort of just the tip of the iceberg. We're hopefully going to do some more research on this. So the index of relative virality shows a lot of promise in terms of rurality measures. We're just now looking at regional differences within, so looking by region, division, and state on the categorization of rurality. And we're really looking, again, I think these very preliminary findings show that we need, if we're going to make all these rural-urban health disparities, do all this research in this, we need to have a better or some sort of unified measures. And I would just like to kind of, you know, speak for 1 second and say I think it depends largely on what context. So the measure that you choose would depend on the context. So if you're really interested in, proximity to a city, well, you're going to use an urban influence code or rural-urban continuum code. But if you're interested more in things like, you know, do you live close to other people, then you look at population density or index of relative virality. So I think it really just depends on the measurement. It depends on what you're getting at. But it's I think this is a consideration to account. These are the references, and thanks very much. That's my contact information.